Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
2018 is starting with a possible breakthrough in tensions on the Korean Peninsula. The South has proposed direct negotiations with the North next week. South Korea's offer follows a New Year's Day address by Kim Jong-un, in which the North Korean leader said he was willing to send a delegation to the Winter Olympics in South Korea next month. Jim Walsh is Here and Now's security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies program, and he's with us in the studio. Hello, Jim, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Meghna.
So, speaking of happy, is this happy news about North and South Korea possibly talking next week?
Oh, yeah, I think it's definitely happy news. Now, there's a question about how long this happiness will be sustained. But I think you and I have spoken many times. It seems to me one of the chief concerns here is the possibility not of deliberate war, but of accidental war, war by miscalculation. The best medicine for that is communication. And so if they're talking, even if they're not coming to an agreement, even if it's only about plans for the Olympics, that's a good thing. Now, again, how long will it be sustained beyond the Olympics? Will we go back to missile and nuclear tests? I don't know. But it seems as if this might have momentum, and it seems as if it might get done, at least for a while.
So we know that they may be talking, but do we know specifically what the talks are about, or could it just be about the Olympics?
I think it's going to be very focused on the Olympics. The Olympics are in February. They're not that far away. There would be a lot to do logistically and from a security standpoint to arrange for all this to happen, not to mention the political dance. Do the teams march in together as they have? Do they march in as one? There are all those sort of cultural and political factors that have to be ironed out. And knowing the North Koreans as I do, they're probably going to want some cash on top of everything. But if it means that there aren't going to be any tests for a while, and if it means if people are talking to one another, then that, I think, is good. The unknown here is how will the president react? Will he react publicly? Will he be negative in his reaction? That remains to be seen.
I want to come back to the United States here in just a second, but one more question about, okay, so a rosy scenario could be that this moment of sports diplomacy opens the door to further talks. That's the rosy scenario.
Yes.
But take me into the North Korean position on this, right? Because it was Kim Jong-un who said he would be willing to send a delegation. What's his calculus?
Well, I think to give President Moon from South Korea some credit here, that invitation had been issued by him for a while. So what is Chairman Kim thinking? Obviously, we don't know. Here are some possibilities. One is that he wants to take advantage of U.S. missteps in dealing with its important ally, South Korea. He sees that there's a little opening between the two, a little tension between the two. President Trump is very friendly with Abe, with President Xi in China, doesn't have a great relationship with Moon, despite Moon's efforts. I was in Seoul a couple of weeks ago talking about this very subject. And so maybe he sees it as a chance to tactically exploit differences between the U.S. and South Korea. It may be that the sanctions are having an effect. It may be that he really believes that they've turned the corner on the nuclear program and they are pivoting as part of a long-held plan of theirs. Any of those are real possibilities. But the question will be how long this is sustained
beyond
the Olympics.
So you were in Seoul just a couple of weeks ago in December last month?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So, you know, we have a high-ranking American saying that, you know, we are closer to nuclear war than ever before. Not that it's inevitable, but that we're closer.
Yes.
I mean, is there a palpable sense of that in Seoul?
Well, that was Admiral Mullen speaking on the shows, and I think he's right. Now, that doesn't mean that the chance is high, but I think the chance is higher than it has ever been. It is low, but the consequences would be so horrific that even a low chance that is growing, is to be avoided. So that's what we face now. I think there have been periods, particularly after public statements and tweets by the president, where the South Korean public has gotten very nervous. Nervous not that the North Koreans are going to attack South Korea. They've been putting up with this for decades. But rather that the U.S. might attack North Korea and fight that war in their big city, Seoul. I think that's the concern is an American president who doesn't seem on the surface to respect the South Korean president, and who is, at least as perceived by them, prone to action without thought. That sort of scares the hell out of them.
So what is the American position right now? I mean, as you said, we don't exactly know, but I mean,
we'll accommodate it.
Okay.
We'll find language to fudge over this. So we won't call it a pause. We'll call it a rescheduling. Or there'll be some parts of the exercises that are done by Americans themselves, but not the full-blown thing. They will find a way to work it out so everyone gets to save face.
No, but do you think that if talks continue beyond next week, that that North Korea or South Korea would want or welcome U.S. involvement?
Well, see, there have been two big pieces of North Korean foreign policy. The dominant strain is, oh, those South Koreans, they're lackeys, they're puppets, they don't count. We only want to talk to the U.S. In a bilateral relationship where we're treated as an equal. That's sort of what it is most of the time. And then every once in a while you get this thing where it's, well, you know, forget the U.S., they're a problem, they don't know anything about the peninsula. We'll sit down with our Korean brothers and sisters and work this out for ourselves. And again, those shifts tend to be almost entirely tactical.
Okay. I'm just, last couple seconds that we have, Jim, you know, I'm thinking back to other moments of military engagement the United States has entered into. There does come a point where things seem inevitable, like there's a momentum towards war. Yeah. We're not there yet.
We are
Korea.
Not there. The thing to worry about, deterrence will generally hold because no one likes to commit suicide. The problem is if there's a crisis, something happens, someone gets shot, someone shoots something, and then suddenly everyone's wondering, are we going to have a war? And that's the point at which things get dangerous because people's incentives begin to shift if they expect a conflict.
Jim Walsh is here and now security analyst. Thanks very much, Jim.
Thank you.